Dear Father, thank you for allowing us to meet tonight and to hear what Jim would have us to learn. Father, I do pray for Mrs. Phillips. I pray that you give her healing, you give her comfort. Father, just put your hand over her and protect her. Father, just give her what she needs. Pray that you help her just to heal as quickly as possible. And we just thank you for allowing her to be here with us tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We're in John, the 11th chapter. John, 11 and verse 12. John 11 and verse 12. Apon, un, hoi, mathete, alto, kyrie, e, kekoi, mete, so, stasete. I've been doing so much Hebrew. I did about 14 hours of Hebrew yesterday. And I want to read right to left instead of left to right. It's you get to going that way, you know. I'm sitting here writing like this, and somebody was watching me writing. I'd be writing that way and then writing this way, going back and forth and left and right. And he said, "What in the world are you doing?" They said, third person plural, secondary, indicative, active. They said, therefore, the disciples. Who are these disciples? Mathetes. What does mathetes mean? Mathetes. What?
Habitual learners.
All right, habitual learners. And these are church members here. These are members of the first little church. Of course, it wasn't little. How big was this church that was following Jesus around? Remember we looked at oklos and okloi, those two words. What does oklos mean? Roger? 5,000 to 10,000 people. How about okloi? 15,000 and above. So that was bigger than Valley Baptist Church, the little church that was following him around. You know, we talk about the little church and everything and all of that. It was how many preachers was assembled in Jerusalem? He told that church to meet him in Jerusalem. He had a messenger. How many preachers were there? Preachers meeting there. How many preachers were preaching there in Jerusalem? 120 preachers in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. All right. And therefore the disciples of him, or to him, that is, disciples to him, Lord, since he has fallen asleep, he shall be saved or healed. All right? Since he has been fallen to sleep. What are they talking about here? What's the subject? You remember Tammy?
Lazarus.
Lazarus has died. Now, Lazarus was a family. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were three of Jesus' lifelong friends. Okay? They're lifelong friends of Jesus. And they're a very wealthy family. And they have supported him for years in helping the church when he was there in Bethany. And they've done all kinds of things. Well, we know that Lazarus was probably one of Jesus' closest friends. And he dies. All right? 11 and verse 13 now. Erake de hoesus peri tu fanatu. Autu ekainoi de edoxon hote peri tes koimesios. And he had spoken to Jesus concerning the death of him. Okay? But those, they thought that concerning the sleep or the slumber, he says. Now he told them what? What did they tell? What did he tell them about Lazarus? Audio too hot. What did he tell them about Lazarus? He said, Lazarus what? He's fallen asleep. Well, the body in death looks like it falls asleep. Okay? But he was really not there. Lazarus was dead. And we're going to look at some little customs about the people back there. 11 and 14. 11 and verse 14. Tote un epein autois hoesus paresia Lazaros apathanein. And therefore he said to them, to Jesus, plainly. What does the word paresia mean? Anybody remember what the word paresia means? It means something. Paresia. It's more than the plainly. What does it mean? What?
I was saying it to my son.
Oh, okay. Paresia. Paresia means with freedom of speech. Plainly, openly, unembarrassed, plain speaking. Truthful speaking. Okay? With freedom of speech. That Lazarus, he has died. Look at that. Lazarus, he has died. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. He has died. He was in the process of dying. How long was he sick? How long was Jesus gone? Several days, wasn't he? And he found out they had sent news to him that Lazarus was sick. And what did he do? What did Jesus do? He waited for several days because he knew that Lazarus was going to die. But in Lazarus dying, he's going to bring great glory to the Lord. Okay? Because this man, he's going to let him lay in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. Okay? Just about how long Jesus would be in the grave. 11 and 15. Kai, Kairo, di himas, hina fisuesete, hote, uk hemen, eke, ala, agomen, pros auton. And I rejoice because of ye, in order that ye may believe that not he may keep on being there. All right? But let us go, or may we go. Look at that subjunctive mode in there, agomen. This is in the subjunctive mode. May we go. Let's please go. Come with me if you wish. Okay? To him. Let's go to Lazarus now. Let's go to Lazarus. Epein un thomas ho logomenos didymus tois simathetes agomen kai hemes hina apothanomen met autu. Therefore he said, Thomas. What does the word Thomas mean? It's an Aramaic word for what? What does Thomas mean? It's an Aramaic word for twin. Okay? I'll just see if you're reading your book.
Yeah.
All right. The one being called Didymus, which means twin. All right. He had a twin brother or sister, one or the other. We don't know whether it was a brother or sister, but he had a twin. To the fellow disciples, to the fellow habitual learners. All right. See that word seem? How many of you ever heard of the word symphony? The first part of that word comes from the same place here. Symphony means what? It's a Greek word. Symphone. What does that mean? Sound together. That's what symphony means. Sound together. All right. The fellow are together disciples. Let us go. First person plural. Present subjunctive active. May we go again. Let us go. Also, here we have Kai. Remember I told you in John 1 and 1, Kai wasn't just a conjunction? All right. Here it is a cumulative particle. Also, yes, most affirmatively. Okay, a particle of affirmation also. We, in order that we may die with him. Where are we going to go there? That we may die with him? That we may die with him? Let's. Cindy, do you have your Amplified with you tonight? You have that Amplified? Could you read from where we started tonight right up to here? In the Amplified, if you don't mind. They thought Jesus was going to be killed if he went back there because they were planning to kill him, weren't they? All right.
The disciples answered, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will recover." However, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he referred to falling into a refreshing and natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there. It will help you to believe, to trust and rely on me. However, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too, that we may die, be killed along with him."
All right. So now, who's he going to be killed with? Who's he going to be killed? Jesus. Because they expect when Jesus goes back, they have been plotting his murder for quite a while, haven't they? And they're enraged. Jesus keeps insisting that he is the same as God the Father. That he is God that created the heavens and the earth. He was the one that they called Father in the Old Testament, you know. And he's the Lord my shepherd, you know, in Psalm 23. He is all of these people. This is Jesus. Psalm 22, he quotes that one on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And basically he quoted the whole Psalm, Psalm 22. So they would know that they were crucifying the King of Glory. All right? So now let's go back. Old Thomas says, and we'll die with him. Because they're going to kill him. Jesus was in total control of his death, as he was in control of his life. I want you to understand that. He was not stoned to death, was he? Why wasn't Jesus stoned? Stephen was stoned in the 7th chapter of Acts. Why didn't they stone Jesus?
They tried, but it wasn't his time.
That didn't work, did it? It didn't work. They tried to stone him. You want me to tell you the main reason why they didn't stone Jesus? Why didn't he allow them to stone him? Because the Old Testament in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 basically said he was going to be crucified. And when a person was crucified, they could control what moment they died. Okay? Even Jesus, they were going to stab these men in the heart, remember, or break their legs. And he released his spirit. Stoning. The person being stoned doesn't have any control at all when they smash him. But Jesus would be on the cross. The cross was a horrible death, but it was an elongated death. It was a protracted death. It didn't happen suddenly, unless the person had a heart trouble or something. You know, when they drove the nails through his wrist and all that kind of stuff, he died from a heart attack or whatever. But usually they lingered on for days. So this was the death that he was going to die. He was going to die the death of the cross. It was prophesied that that was what was going to happen. And that way he would control the very moment that he died. 11 and verse 17 now. 11 and verse 17. Elphon, un ho Jesus, uromen, auto, tesaros, eide, hemeros, Ekonta en to menemio. Now remember, Lazarus was very rich. Lazarus could afford a hand-hewn tomb. Jesus was buried in a hand-hewn tomb, wasn't he? Wasn't his. Whose was it? Probably his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea. That's whose it was. And he was a rich man. All right? And who went and asked for the body of Jesus to bury him? Now that was a could be a capital punishment in that in itself. Who were the two people that asked for Jesus' body? They went to Pontius Pilate and begged for his body. Who were they? Huh? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. All right. So Nicodemus was a believer, wasn't he? All of that preaching that he did to him when he was a representative of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and all that, and the priest and the scribes that night when he visited Jesus, it was a formal meeting. He was a representative. He was probably had an entourage leading him there. Okay? It worked for Nicodemus. A whole bunch of them didn't believe. Elphon. Having come, therefore, to Jesus, he found, out him 4 already days being in the tomb. Now, back in this period of time, people would go to a tomb and they would go sit in the tomb. And they would sit beside the dead body. The body would be wrapped up and laid there. And they would sit there and they would wait for the person to come back to life if he was in a coma or whatever. Sometimes people would just all of a sudden and start breathing again. But they didn't do it after 4 days. 3 days they wait. 3 days they waited. On the fourth day, they didn't have any hope of him ever arising. No hope of a recovery whatsoever. And that's why he was in the grave 4 days. Now, if Jesus was crucified on Wednesday instead of Friday, how long would he have been in the grave? Do you see the difference? Wednesday afternoon, all the way to Sunday morning, real, real early, the first day of the week. There's beyond any point of recovery. We so much go with a Catholic view of the crucifixion on Friday and raised on Sunday. That's not 3 days, not 4 days either. How long was Jonah in the belly of the Leviathan or the great fish, the big fin? Three days. All right, at least 3 days. And he was dead. Jonah was dead. He didn't stay alive in that fish's belly. He was dead. Where did he call to God from? Where was he praying from? Where was he speaking to God from? The belly of Sheol is where he was. His body was in the belly of the fish, but his soul was in Sheol. Sheol, that's the place of departed spirits now. A lot of people try to prove that Jonah could have lived in a whale's belly for 3 days. So people did that before. He wasn't alive. He was dead. He wasn't alive. God raised him from the dead. Jesus, when he was using the example of his death, what did he say? I will only give you one example. What? The figure, the example of what? Jonah. The Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and shall be raised, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Jonah was D-E-A-D. Dead. Dead. Don't try to make him alive coming out of that fish. He was dead. When that fish spit him out, God put life in him. Plain. I've heard all kinds of sermons about that, but they didn't read between the lines. My stepdad Dale told me one thing. He said, when I told him I was going to surrender to preach, and I said this a little bit earlier, he said, Jimmy, he said, if you're going to preach and teach the Bible, he said, you better learn Greek and Hebrew. Because the Bible wasn't written in English. And that's what set me off on that trail. We chased wild horses together. We did all kinds of stuff. Built things all over this country. And when I was studying Greek, I was sending him letters. Filled with Greek. John 1 and 1 and all those kind of things. He said he was converted. I hope he was. 11 and 18 now. Ain de he Bethania. Igus. Actually, it's Ingus. Ingus. Because when you have a double gamma, what do? You change the first gamma into an N sound. Ingus. Ton Jerusalem mon hos apo stadion deca pente. It kept on being now the Bethany near the Jerusalem. How long do you think Bethany had been near Jerusalem? For a long time, hadn't it? All right. What was the name of Jerusalem before it was Jerusalem? Huh? How many of you remember that? What? Remember the people that came from there? Remember the people that came from that area? You don't remember? You don't remember that. The people that came from Jebus, the Jebusites. That's Jerusalem, Jebus. All right? And now the Bethany near the Jerusalem, or Jebus, it had been known as Jerusalem by now. Okay, about from furlongs 15, about 2 miles. Bethany's still 2 miles from Jerusalem. Okay, 2 miles. Decapente. What does the first part of Deca mean? Deca. What's that Deca mean? 10. Deca is 10. A decade is how many years? 10 years. All right. How long is a lustrum? Marilyn, how long is a lustrum? Huh? How long is a lustrum? How much is 2 bits? Huh? 2.5 years. All right. 2 bits is how much? How much is 2 bits, Marilyn? 25 cents. Just like a lustrum. 2.5 years. All right. Old things, huh? Can't ever tell what you're going to run into. Kept on meaning to, near the Jerusalem, about 15. Deca Pente. Pente is 5. 5. 2, 5. Or 10, 5. Pentecost. What does that mean? Pentecost. 50 days. 50 days. All right. 11:19 now. 11:19. Poloi. De ecton judeon. Elele thison. Pros tain marthon. Kai meriam. Hina para mi theson te. Autos peri ton adelpho. Moreover, many out of the Jews, they had come. Why did all these Jews come? Why were they there? What happens when a celebrity dies? Everybody shows up at the funeral. You know, you get somebody out here from the backwoods, whatever, you know, that never was around the big cities, around very many people. He dies, and then 5 or 10 people at his funeral. But Lazarus was a very wealthy man, a well-known family. They had to be a very wealthy and renowned family of some sort. It doesn't say much about their mom and daddies. But these three were very prominent in the Bible. All right, what does Martha mean? Martha. That's Hebrew. What?
Is it Mary?
No, Martha. Martha.
Elegant lady.
Elegant lady. All right. Mary means what? Mary or Miriam means what? Bitter or sorrowful. Okay. What about Lazarus? What does Lazarus mean? Lazarus. Remember, it's a contracted form in Hebrew from what? Uh-huh. Lazarus. Brother Roger. Pam. Lazarus. Anybody else over here? I know you're going to have it, Sharon.
Well, I wrote it down. I have to find it.
All right. Abraham's servant was of that name. The long portion of the name. Eliezer. Eliezer means what? God helps. What does Lazarus mean? It's a shortened form of it. It's like Jim instead of James, or Jim instead of Jimmy, or whatever, you know. Dot instead of Dorothy. What does it mean? Helpless. Helpless. No help. Lazarus. Okay? And Mary, in order that they might console. Para a mitheisonte. Para mitheomai. It comes from para and mitheomai. That means to give comfort to somebody. It's an unusual word. It means to give comfort. To anesthetize the tragedy. Them. Accusatory plural feminine. Third person pronoun. See that? Atas. That's the girls that he's comforting. Concerning the brother, what does brother literally mean, or sister? From the same womb. Thank you, Marilyn. Well, did you see that girl? She listens at home, don't she? How many of you, this is the first class she's been in with you for a long time. I don't know if she's ever been here before. First time, yeah. If she wasn't all banged up, she'd be doing something else. 11 and 20. Hey, un Martha, hos akousen, hote Jesus, erkete, hi pen tason, auto, Miriam, de, ento, oiko, ikathezete, zeto, that is. I got to where I can't hardly see a thing anymore. There are too many obstacles between here and there. Floaters. An army of them. It used to be a little floater here and there. Now it's the Queen Mary and the Annapolis. Two of them others going by. I can hardly see around it. And therefore the Martha, the elegant lady, when she heard that Jesus... Now, look at this word here. It's erkete. Third person singular present, indicative what? What voice? And I mean, what mode is it? In the indicative what? It's not indicative, but it's indicative, but what mode? Middle voice. He's going to come for himself. He's going to bring himself there. He's going to come there of his own volition. See that? You get that in Greek. That volition is there. And she met, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. She met him. All right? To him. She met, came up to him. And Mary, but Mary in the house, she kept on sitting. Mary in the house, she kept on sitting. Martha, it seemed like, was always worried about everything, wasn't she? She was the one that looked after everything. She was probably the elder sister and working and doing everything and watching over the house. The matriarch of the house, so to speak. Maybe they're probably their mother and father were both dead. Doesn't say anything about them. 11 and verse 21 now. Hey, Payne. Un, hey, Martha. Pros, ton, esun, curie, a, es, ode, uk, on, apathonain, ho, adelphos, mu. And she said, therefore, the Martha, to the Jesus, or toward the Jesus, the action is she's talking to Jesus. Jesus is receiving the action. That's accusative singular. That's what we call, in Hebrew, it would have what in front of that? Brother Roger, what would it have in front of that? Et. Actions going this way. In Greek, the accusative class tells you that the action's going that way. In Hebrew, you have an et in front of the word. Say, here it goes. Barashi bara. Elohim, what? Et. Hashemayim. We et haaretz. Okay? Et tells you where the action's going. Right here, it's an accusative. And therefore the Martha, toward the Lord, she says, Master, Lord, Kyrie. And I believe here she meant Adonai. She meant Jehovah when she uses this word, Kyrie. If you had kept on being here, or since you had kept on being here, now this is a first-class conditional particle. The condition is determined as what? Fulfilled. All right? If, or since you kept on being here, not he would have died, the brother of me. If you had stayed here, he would not have died. She actually believed that Jesus could have healed him because he went around healing people. Why did Jesus heal people? Why did he heal people? His messianic credentials to prove that he was the Messiah, that he was a Messiah king of Israel. That's why he healed people. He didn't heal people just because they needed healing. That was his credentials. And every time he healed somebody, they went to a priest and said, I've been healed. Now you can pronounce me clean. Because back in the Judaistic society, when you got sick, what happened, Brother Roger? Well, they got died, but what else? What did the rest of these Jews think about you, these Pharisees? Oh, that you were a bad boy. That you were a sinner, so you can't come to church with us today. You stay home. Stay out of here. You're a sinner. When God gets you well, when He raises you, then you can come back and show us you're well, and then you can come back to church. We'll give you a certificate, a written certificate of wellness. All right? So every time that Jesus healed somebody, they had a certificate. All the lepers, all these different people. All right? 11:23. Lege aute hoesus. Anastasete ho adelphos su. All right? We have to go back to verse 22, don't we, Roger? I jumped too far. Thank you very much. Allah. And Allah is in brackets, so it probably isn't there, but that's a strong adversative conjunction. Kai, nin, oida, hote, hosa, an, atese, ton, theon, dose, sui, ho, theos. But, now you can use that kai as a but also. You can forget to Allah and to say, but now I know fully. I have known. Look at that word. First person singular, second perfect, indicative, active. I know, and I know by things that have happened in the past. I have become a believer. The second perfect is like second aorist. What's second aorist? Second aorist is punctiliar action, but it is a little durative there. It's held on. Second aorist. You knew it for a while. It happened. It took a few moments to happen. Now, she said, I know by experience. And I know by seeing you raise all the dead people before and heal all these lepers and blind people and everything that you've done, that I know that you could have saved my brother. That whatever you may request, the God, look at that word, you may request, ton theo. Look at that, ton theo. That's accusative singular masculine. Definite article, accusative singular masculine, theon. He shall give to you the God. Now, Jesus, when he asked God, the Father, to do something, what did he ask on equal grounds, didn't he? Basically. And that's what she said. We know that you're doing these things on equal grounds with the Father. Because Jesus said just a few verses before this, I and the Father are what? One. Okay, we're one. I and the Father are one. 11:23. Anything that you may ask. Look at that word. Second person singular, first aorist, subjunctive, after. Anything that you ask, may ask for. The God, he shall give to you. The God. Lege aute ho Jesus anastasete ho adelphosi. And he says to her, the Jesus, he shall stand up again, the brother of you. He shall stand up again. Anastasia, that's the word. Anastasia, the Greek princess, or not Greek, but the Russian princess, Anastasia, her name meant the resurrection. Anastasia. When Paul preached Jesus and Anastasia to the Greeks, they thought he was talking about Jesus, a male god, and Anastasia, his female queen. Because it's in the feminine gender. Anastasia is the standard. It is the resurrection. You shall stand again. We'll all stand again. The good and the bad shall stand again. The lost and the saved will all stand again. People aren't going to stay in the graveyards. The graveyards are what we call necropolises, cities of the dead. But they're all going to be emptied one of these days. There won't be any graveyards left on this earth at all. None. When the resurrection and the rapture takes place, woof! All the saved are going to go. There's going to be 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, and then at the end of that, there's going to be the great white throne judgment, and that's when all of these people, all the dead, are going to be raised. There's going to be no more graveyards. All the dead people are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is a place of varied torments. In other words, there are degrees in eternal fire, eternal hell, and there are degrees in heaven. What you do in this life really does count. It really does matter. What you do with your life here really does matter, because it matters how and where and how close to God you're going to be in eternity. Simple as that. Now 11:24. Lege ato, hey Martha, oida hote anastesete, en te anastase, en te ek eskate hemera. And she says to him, the Martha, I have known. Second perfect indicative active, first person singular. I have known that he shall stand again in the resurrection. Now, the Bible talks about the last day. The last day. The last day. Now, the second coming of Jesus is actually two separate periods of time. How many of you know that? There are two different separate resurrections, and there are two different comings of Christ. The first coming of Christ in time past was when he came to die for our sins. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to raise the dead, the saved, and to rapture the church out before the tribulation period. And that at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to come again and bring the world into an order. His order. He will be ruler, and he will rule the world with a what? A rod of iron. Okay? And he'll rule from New Jerusalem, which will be floating above the earth for that 1,000 years. We know he shall stand again on the last day in the resurrection. Eschate. The last things. Eschatology. Eschatology. All of this is eschatology. All of this is eschatology. At one time, back here, this was eschatology. Really. Talk about the last thing. When you were in the garden in Adam's loins, the death on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ was considered the last thing. We talk about eschatology, we're talking about from our period of time, these are last things. Last things, all right? Last thing. Things that's going to happen, going to lead up to the end. One more. Now, just look back in eternity past. How many eschatology things, eschatological things would happen from there to here? But in the mind of God, this is the most wonderful thing. In the mind of God, when God stood up there in eternity past and he occupied, he inhabited eternity. Here's eternity, and here is Theos and Elohim. All right. He's looking down. And here is eternity. And here is eternity. And he has no problem seeing every second between the two eternities. Now. Then. Or in the future. The Lord Jesus Christ could tell you what you're going to be doing 5 million years after the 1,000-year reign. He can tell you exactly. See, God inhabits eternity. You get this? This is pretty big stuff. One guy wrote a note on one of my sermons the other day. I was talking about something, and he wrote down there, deep, 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 deeper. This is one of those deep things that we're talking about right now. Deeper things. Understand the mind of God and how God inhabits eternity is a big, deep, deep thing. He inhabits eternity and he can see everything from eternity past to now. Have no problem doing that. We do. We have problem with the second. We don't know what we're going to do tomorrow for sure. Maybe. Next week. We may not even live there. May not be alive. They may already have our funeral by then. But God has no problem knowing eternity to eternity. No problem. He shall stand again in the last days. 11:25. 11:25. Epain, Alte, Hoesus, Ego, Amy, He, Anastasius, Kai, He, Zoe, Ho, Pistion, Ace, Eme, Con, Apothane, Zaisete. Jesus is using some Hebraisms in this verse. You see it, you Hebrew people? He's using some Hebraisms here. And he said to her, the Jesus, or the Jesus, he said to her, Ego Eimi, Exodus 3:14, I am. I am the eternal God. I am the resurrection. Look at that. I am the eternal God. I am the resurrection. And I am that which gave life to all things. That's a pretty big statement here. I am the eternal God, the everlasting one. I am the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the one who shall become. I am the ever existing one that existed always in the Old Testament. I am the Anastasia. I am the resurrection. I own the resurrection. It belongs to me. Kai and He life. He Zoe. We got a word zoo out of that word. That's where you go study life in zoo. And zoology means what? The study of life. The one believing in me, even also, if he may die, he shall live. He shall be lived. Look at that. If he may die, third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive, active. Third person singular, future, indicative, middle. Now, what makes up? The Lord provides salvation, doesn't He? Every place in the Bible teaches. Last Sunday night, I talked on the book of Jonah. You like that book of Jonah? That's quite a book. God elected Jonah. God elected Nineveh. God elected Joppa. God elected the boat. God elected the captain. God elected the crew. God elected the Leviathan. He elected the storm. He elected everything. He elected the gourd. He elected the worm. He elected Nineveh to be His people then. They would be born again in one day. 120,000 people. A whole shipload of people saved before that. And the reluctant evangelist. All of this. God elected all of it. We know that election is true. We know that foreordination and predestination, so to speak, is true. But in space and time, there's volition. It just keeps saying it through the Bible. God knows everything. God inhabits eternity. In space and time, He knows you and every thought in your life. He does. And He also gave you the most dangerous gift in the world. That's volition. Your freedom to choose. If a man chooses, he may have eternal life. If a man chooses, he shall live forever. Simple as that. He told her, I am the author of the resurrection. Behold your God. I am the one that created all things. Barashith bara Elohim. I am Elohim. And I am Jehovah Elohim of the Old Testament in the first chapter of Genesis. I am the one that did all those things. Colossians, the first chapter, verses 14 through 18. Colossians 1, 14 through 18. Who has that? Anybody got that? Tammy, you have Colossians 1, 14 through 18. Colossians 1, 14 through 18. That's over in Hekine Idea Theke, you know. Over there in the New Testament, Nova Testament. Colossians 1, 14 through 18. 1, 14 through 18. Over there by Ephesians and Galatians. Stick together. Pages. You got it yet?
Yeah.
Come right up here and read that to us. Colossians 1, 14 through 18.
have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the thread of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
All right. He is the, it says there, he's the firstborn of the, he is actually the head of the creation of God. He is the head of the creation of God. In him, we move, we live, we move, and have our existence. That was a pagan statement in the Old Testament when they talk about Zeus. But Paul uses it in the Word of God and says, you thought Zeus was? In Jesus we live, we move, we have our existence. In Jesus everything was created. And that's what Jesus is saying here in John 11 and verse 25. And Paul caught up on it later. Okay? 126. John 11:26, that is. There's some long chapters in the Gospel of John. Kai pos, hos on, kai pistion, eis eme, un, u me, apathene, eis ton aionon, pisues tuto. Now, in the last verse, every time you saw eis in that verse, see over here it says, ho pistion, eis eme. Eis is the equivalent of the eth. John is using Hebraisms in the Greek here so they can understand the Hebrew logic of the Old Testament. Sign of the record, he that believes in me. And the word eis, the grammatical rule of that, is the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Say that with me, because that's one of the most important grammatical rules you can learn. The extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. What it means is it can go to the person, through the person, and beyond the person, or it can go behind. In Acts 2:38, you are baptized because you have been saved. Ace. All right. Because you have been saved. We will get to heaven because we have believed in Jesus, and we believe to Jesus, through Jesus, and all the way to heaven. That's the idea. That's the tremendous Hebraism that he brings out. 11:26, and every the one living, present participle active, not a singular masculine, everyone living. That's the case. Look at that word ho in the front of it. That's a nominative singular masculine definite article. And then you see the word zone. You automatically know when you see that, that's nominative singular masculine. And it's present participle acting. The one living and believing. You know what? If you believe in Jesus, you're living forever. Isn't that nice? If you're believing in Jesus, you're living forever. You're not going to die. Your old body's going to lay down one of these days and give up and croak. But your spirit and soul is going to have everlasting life, real life, not double dead, as the lost will be. They will be double dead. We will be doubly alive, doubly alive. These are different terms, you know, theological terms and from the languages. Double dead and double alive. The one living and believing in me, look at that word, ace, M-A, in me through to eternity, know not, a double negative, adverb of negation and particle of negation, know not, he shall or he may die. It's not possible that he dies. Isn't that beautiful? It may not, it's not going to happen. This is what we call, this subjunctive mode is what we call a futuristic subjunctive. Say futuristic subjunctive. It's subjunctive mode, but it is not conditional. It's a futuristic subjunctive. Not he may die. Now, it's in the subjunctive mode because why? Whether he believes or not, huh? The volition is involved. But when the Lord gets a hold of him, he's not going to die. That's what we call the futuristic subjunctive. unto the age, eis toniona. That's a declaration of olam in Hebrew. Olam in Hebrew means what? Pamela, you remember what olam means in Hebrew? Pamela, or Sharon? Olam. Olam. Brother Roger, olam.
It's the equivalent of eternity.
Equivalent of eternity, and what does it literally mean?
You go to beyond your imagination, then that's where eternity starts.
That's where it begins. We understand eternity in the past. We understand something about eternity in the future. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't understand anything here, and we don't understand anything there. We just know there's places. Olam means beyond that and beyond that, beyond what we can even fathom. All right? Eistonion. Again, a Hebraism. Unto the age. Actually, the word aiona there means ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. Literally. Here it's an accusative singular. All right? Until the age ye believe this thing. Until the end of these ages, of this age, you believe this? Do you believe this thing? Do you believe? 11:27. And the word there, believe, means to cling on, to hold to. You still have your Bible open there, Cindy? Would you mind reading the last two or three verses there for us in the Amplified? Because it brings out some beautiful stuff. About 24 through 24 through 26.
Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believe in, has faith in, cleaves to, and relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, even he who was to come into the world. It is for your coming that the world has waited. I think I went too far.
He's the Creator. The whole world was waiting for him to be born. The whole cosmos, every rock, every drop of water, every tree, every individual of life, was waiting for Christ to be born, because he's going to redeem it all back. He's going to own it again. 11:27. Lege auto. Ne kurie. Ego pisue apis papistuka. Hote si a ho Christos. Ho huios. Tuthio. Ho aston cosmo. Ekomenos. And she says to him, Yes, Lord, nay. Nay means yes. When we say nay or yea, when we really say nay, we're saying yea. Okay? Nay is a particle of affirmation. Yes. It's like amen. And he says to him, Yes, Lord, Jehovah, I have believed. First person singular. Perfect indicative active. She has become a believer. She knows it, period. Because you are and you keep on being the Christ. You haven't failed me yet. The Son, the heir, the firstborn of the God, belonging to the God. The one, aston the cosmos, into the cosmos, having or coming. She believed in Genesis 3:15. She believed in the promise of the Messiah. In the Genesis 3:15, we have two promised seeds, don't we? We have two seeds, the bad seed and the good seed. The bad seed is the Antichrist, the seed of Satan that will be born into the world, literally. He shall be born of a woman, and his father will be Satan. But before that, the Son of God, Jehovah, will become flesh. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. All right. Jehovah, I want you to get this down absolutely in your mind. That's Jehovah in the Old Testament, all right? And it comes from Hayah, all right? And this is on page 218 and 219 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, okay? Hayah is on page 224 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and 243 in Kohler and Baumgartner. Now, this word here means to become. That's the root of the name Jehovah. And the name Jehovah means he who shall become. All right? God became flesh. John 1:14. Kai halogos sarx agenito. And the word, Jehovah, flesh, he became and dwelt among us. And she believes this. See, John 1 is before John 11. Okay? We got a mathematician in here tonight, but we don't have to really look very far to figure that one out. He already had told them that he was the eternal God, that he was the one that would become flesh, that he was the one that would come to live among them. And 29, Ekaine de hos akousen egerte toxa, toxi actually, kai erketo pros autun. And that one, when she heard, she rose up. She was caused to raise up, literally. Quickly. Our word taxi comes from that. You get taxi in a hurry. When you need a ride in a hurry, you hail a taxi. Okay? Taxi. Say, remember taxi. Say taxi. Now, that word taxi there, that means quickly, and that's an adverb. Means hurry, in a hurry. And she came and kept on going for herself, middle voice, volition again, to him. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, we didn't do 1128.
We didn't do 1128. Well, I'll tell you what, it's very easy for me to jump over one. Thank you very much. Kai tata, apusan, apelthane, kai ephanesan, Mariam tain adelphe, altes, lothra, apusa, ho didaskalos, paresete, Hi, phone C. Thank you very much. And these things having said, she went away, and she called Mary, the sister of her, secretly. This is a little adverb. It means cryptically. All right? In a cryptic way, secretly. It comes from lathano. All right? That means to be unconscious, in an unconscious way. Having said, the teacher, he is here, and he calls you. And then verse 29 again, and that one, when she heard, she rose up for herself, or was called to raise up, that is, this passive voice, quickly, in a hurry, and she came and kept on coming, because she wanted to him. All right. Anything else? We went from 11:12 through 30. We covered a lot of ground tonight. 11, 12, through 30. You got any questions, Brother Lee?
No.
Nope. How about you, Sharon? You got a question? Any about any of this? Grammatical questions?
Not grammatical so much, but I'm just thinking of Martha, her faith, really, because when her brother's dead, she called Jesus for help. He blew her off.
Yeah.
And even now she's saying, you know, I know you can do anything. I mean,
she said, I know you're God.
But in her grief, in disappointment in him, she's able to.
She was
that.
Disappointed, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, that's a great affirmation of faith.
Yes.
Because, I mean.
She thought her brother was dead for good.
Yeah, she
because he
know
died.
The next, you know, the next
yeah, she didn't know the next verses.
Yeah.
She didn't know what's going to happen.
But she was saying that now, and I just think that's just profound.
Yeah.
If we can say that in our worst dark days, we're doing good.
She didn't have any hindsight yet, did she? But she's going to see the great glory of God. And maybe Lazarus never had to die again. Maybe Lazarus never had to die again. Maybe he was one of those that Jesus took to the throne of God with him. Now, we know that the Jews tried to kill Lazarus, didn't they? They tried to kill the evidence that he was a Messiah. They tried to kill him. They sought him and tried to kill him. And we'll find that out a little bit later on. They tried to kill Lazarus. You have any other questions? Marilyn, you have any questions?
Well, I think I'm on the way
home. All right. How about you, Noah? Tammy, thank you for reading for us today. Marcia? No. Did I say that name right? No. Rhonda. Well, it's got an A on the end of it. Rhonda. How about you, Mark?
I come to her before we come.
Oh, you did.
She brings me up.
She brings you up to course.
Yeah.
All right. Pamela, yeah. No question. Roger, you give me a question I can't answer. All right. Dakota? Udamia? Luke? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn you loose on the world and see who we can pick up. Mark, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother? We had your daughter up here reading. Now we got you up here to assist us in prayer. See, we've got the family all involved.
Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this class tonight that we could enjoy. Father, we pray that you be with each one that's here tonight and you send them out. Father, let them tuck the words in their heart, Lord, and use it for the glory of you. And we just thank you for everything. We thank you for Brother Jim and his family, Lord, and I pray you would bless him in everything they do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go to Sermon Audio website and see all